The shir tonight is on Parshas Hazinu and Yom Kippur. It's kind of a mixture of a shir, and the title is Responding to the Name of Hashem. So in the shir tonight, we're going to start with a pasuk from Hazinu, and there's really going to be 3 points in the shir, all tied to Yom Kippur and the Parsha as well. So we'll try to split it up, but they're all related to one another. So we'll start with a simple pasuk. It's source number one, Dvarim Lamed Beis. And this is the first source of our shir is Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lelokeinu. It's a pasuk in Hazinu, which is this week's parsha, and it means that when I call out the name of Hashem, ascribe greatness to our God. So Moshe, in speaking to Klal Yisrael, makes a statement that when I call out, when I'm Ekra the Shem Hashem, so you have to ascribe a greatness to Hashem. So Rashi explains on the pasuk in source number two. He tries to explain what this pasuk means, how it applies to us, how are we supposed to understand it. So Rashi says as follows, in source number two, it's Rashi on that pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hare Ki Mishamesh Belashon Kasher. So when the Torah uses the term Ki, it means Kasher, when I do this, when I call out Hashem's name, Kimo Ki Savo El Aretz, just like it says in Vayikra, when you go into the land, it uses the term Ki, instead of kasher, kishe ekra v'askir shem Hashem, atem havu godel lelokenu uvarchu shmo. So when I call out and mention the name of Hashem, you will ascribe greatness to Hashem and bless His name. Mikan amru she'onin baruch shem kvod machuso achar bracha shebemikdash. So from here, from this pasuk in Hazinu, where we say that when Hashem calls out, or not when man calls out towards God, that we have to ascribe greatness to Him, we learn out the idea that in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever a bracha was made, the response was not Amen, but it was Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Le'olam Voed. So the question that we're going to start the shir off is what is the nature of this idea that we have to respond Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso in the Mikdash to the Shem Hashem? Why do we respond Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Voed, and what is the meaning of this, and how does it relate to Kishem Hashem Ekra? So once again, the Torah in Parshas Hazinu tells us that when I call out to Shem Hashem, you have to ascribe greatness, and Rashi explains that that occurred in the Mikdash. Whenever a bracha was made in the Mikdash, we would respond Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Voed. So the question is, what is the relationship with Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Voed? Blessed is the name and His glorious kingship forever and ever, to the idea of the Shem Hashem. Okay, so if you look in source number three, it's the Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi, and he asks a good question, and he explains a little further in Rashi. So in source number three, he says like this, V'im tomer dilma anias amin. So maybe when it says, Kishem Hashem akra havu godel elokeinu, it means that when the name of Hashem is read in the Mikdash, or when it's read, you say amin. You say, I agree. And how does Rashi know that it's only in the Mikdash, the base of the Mikdash, that we respond Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Voed? Maybe outside of the Mikdash as well, we should respond Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Voed. We're in source number three. V'yish lomar hol dechsev havu godel v'amein lav gedulahi ela ha'amanas divrei ha'mevarech. So when you say Amen, you're just agreeing to what the Mevarech is saying, but you're not ascribing any greatness to what the Mevarech is saying. So just Hamanas Divrei Mevarech. L'chsiv Nami Kishem Hashem Ekra Mashma. So that's one idea. One idea is we know that Amen is insufficient, because when you say Amen, it just means I agree with what you're saying. But the Pasuk says, Havu Godel Elokeinu. You have to add to it. You have to enhance the name of Hashem and ascribe greatness. So Amen wouldn't suffice. And the second idea, Uchsiv Nami Kishem Hashem Ekra Mashma Shem Shel Dalid Beos Yosef. So when it says in the pasuk, when I call out the name of Hashem, it implies the Shem Hamaforish Yud Hey Vav and Hey Va'aser Lahaskir Hashem Shel Dalid Begvulin Kiim BeMikdash Hayu Maskirim Hashem Beos Yosef. So another point the Sifsei Chacham makes is that the only place where the Shem Hashem, the Yud K Vav K, was actually pronounced properly. And we don't say that. We say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. We don't say the Shem Hashem. So the only place where it was actually said was in the Mikdash. So therefore, the Sifsei Chachamim, in explaining Rashi, he tries to clarify where Rashi gets his idea from. But the main point up to so far is that the pasuk says Kishem Hashem Ekra, that when God calls out, the name of Hashem, we have to ascribe greatness. And we see that that is a reference to in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever the Shem Hashem, which was pronounced fully and pronounced Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh, whenever it was said, if it was said in the framework of a bracha or it was said, we always had to respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So the question is, why? Why do we respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed? And what is this idea, this unique idea that in the Mikdash, when Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh was read and said, we would respond this way? So this relates to Yom Kippur. How does it relate to Yom Kippur? Because if you pay attention in the Musaf, we always say that the Kohanim, they would be Korim Mishtachavim, and they would say, Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed, whenever they would hear the name of Hashem. And this is brought down in Maseches Yuma, Parag Gimel Mishnah Ches. So we're going to read through the Mishnah, and it says like this. Balo Eitzel is talking about the Kohen Gadol. Balo Eitzel Paro, Uparo Haya Omed Bina Ulam Omez Beach. So the Kohen Gadol would come to his bull, and the bull was in between the Ulam, which is a place in front of the Mikdash and the Mizbeach, Rosho Lidarum Ufan of the Marav. So the bull's head would be facing the south, and its face would be facing the west. Va'akoin Obein B'Mizrach. So the directions aren't that important, but the Kohen was standing in the east, Upan of the Marav, and his face was facing west. V'somech Shtei Yadav Olav U'Misvada. So this is, if anybody pays attention in the Musaf and Yom Kippur, this is very familiar. The Kohen would put his hands on his par, on his bull, and he would do vidoy. V'kach haya omer. And this is what he would say. Ano Hashem avisi pashati chatasi lefanecha. Ani uvesi ano Hashem kaper na la'avonos ulpashayim ulchatayim sh'avisi ushpashati v'shachatasi lefanecha. Ani uvesi. So the Kohen would mention that he and his whole house are sinners, and he would ask Hashem for atonement. And it says, Kakasu b'soras Moshe avdecha, as it said in the Torah, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper lechem, on this day you will provide atonement. And it says, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper lechem lefnei Hashem tataru. V'hein onan achara baruch shem kvod machusol olam vo'ed. And they would respond, everybody who was there and in the Mikdash, the Kohanim, would respond, Baruch shem kvod machusol olam vo'ed. So this is a very critical idea, because we see throughout the Musaf on Yom Kippur and this Mishnah and Yoma that the concept of responding Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed whenever the Shem Hashem is announced is very prevalent in the Mikdash, and it's also prevalent on Yom Kippur. But again, we have to understand what is the relationship between the Shem Hashem and Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed, and it's what is its critical idea in Yom Kippur. So the Rambam, in source number 5, brings this down as well on the Parish of Mishnah. And he says, Amar HaKasuv, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVugodil Elokeinu. So once again, he quotes our Pasuk from Azinu, Uva B'Kabbalah Shemosh Rabbeinu Amar L'Yisrael Bizman She'anis Maskir Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atem HaVugodil Elokeinu V'kach Chova Lasos Olam. So Moshe says that when the name of Hashem is mentioned, so you have to respond by ascribing greatness to him, and this is a chova, and that's why we respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So the one place where we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed is when we respond in the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever the Shem HaMeforash, the Yud-Keh Vav-Keh, was mentioned, our response is Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. But there's also another place where we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed, and it's also prominent on Yom Kippur as well. And I think everybody's would know the answer if they think about it for a couple minutes. But it's in source number 6. We say it every day in Kriya Shema. So there's two places where we mention Baruch Shem. One is in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shem HaMeforash, Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh, is mentioned, and the other one is in the framework of Kriya Shema. And even on Yom Kippur, that's one of the reasons why we say out loud, Baruch Shem, Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema. He tells an interesting story which explains why we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So he says like this: Hakori Kriya Shema. It's the Rambam Kriya Shema Perak Alef Halacha Dalet. Hakori Kriya Shema Kishu Gomer Pasuk Rishon Omer Belachash Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So when you say Kriya Shema, you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right after, you say in a whisper Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. So we say that blessed the name of Hashem, this glorious kingship forever and ever. V'chozer v'kore k'darko v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha ad sofa. And then we go on. We all are familiar with Kriya Shema. We say v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha until the end. V'lama korin. Why do we say this? Baruch Shem. V'lama korin kain misoras hibyadenu. So we have a tradition. Shebisha shekabat Yaakov avinu as banav b'mitzrayim b'shas misaso. So when Yaakov was dying, he gathered up all his children by him, tzivam v'zarzam al yichud Hashem, Val Derech Hashem Shehalach Ba Avraham Yitzchak Aviv. So what he did was, is that he talked to them and he taught them about Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God, and how Avraham and Yitzchak, his forefathers, walked in the ways of Hashem. Vishal Osam the Amar Lahem Bini. So he asked them, my children, Shema Yishbachem Paslus, maybe there's a puzzle person amongst you. Misha Eina Omeid Imi Be Yichud Hashem, someone who doesn't agree to the idea of Yichud Hashem. As Moshe Rabbeinu also mentioned in the Torah. So Anu Kulam, all the brothers, the Shvatim said, V'amru Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Klomar, meaning to say, Shema Mimenu Avinu Yisrael, listen to us, our Father Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Pasach HaZakin, so Yaakov opened up his mouth, V'amar, Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed. His response to that was Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed. Lefichach Nagu Kol Yisrael Lomar Shevach Sheshevach Bo Yisrael Hazakin Achar Pasuk Zeh. That's why Klal Yisrael, when we say Kriya Shema, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed after Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we have two cases where we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed. So one is in the Beis Hamikdash when the Shem Hashem is mentioned. For example, on Yom Kippur, it was mentioned many times. So the response is Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed. And the other time is when we say Kriya Shema. When we say Kriya Shema, the response is Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed, in line with the way Yaakov responded to the idea of Shema. So can we try to compare the two examples of Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed and try to understand what the idea of Baruch Shem is and why we respond in these two situations, which are both appropriate on Yom Kippur, because they both have relationships to Yom Kippur, because we do it in two places throughout the Musaf. Whenever we bow down, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed, and also in Kriya Shema, if we all remember, on Yom Kippur we don't say it Balachash, we say it out loud. So what is the main point? What is the main comparison between the Kriya Shema and the Shem in the Beis Hamikdash, and why do we respond Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed? So like this is going to be the first point in the shir, the first idea of the shir. Does anybody have any possibilities or want to try an approach before I say anything or have any questions? Okay. So what's the idea? So the idea seems to be from the Rambam in Kriya Shema. He kind of opens it up a little bit. So he says that the response of Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Le'olam Vo'ed is really a response to the idea of Yichud Hashem. Because he says in the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema Perek Al Falachadal, if you look in source number 6, what was he teaching them? He says, Misha'ino Omeid Imi Bi Yichud Hashem, whoever doesn't stand with me in Yichud Hashem, or it says, Sivam Bizarzam Al Yichud Hashem. And the whole idea of Shema is we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that we say that He is our God, but we also recognize His oneness. We recognize that Hashem is unique in His perfection, and He can't be split up into parts, and He has no, and He's not an amalgamation of parts, but He is one. And His oneness is not like any of the oneness that we are familiar with. So we say Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and our response is Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol Le'olam Vo'ed. And perhaps in the Mikdash as well, when we say the Shem HaMeforash, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we're also referencing the concept of Yichud Hashem. Because normally, when we're reading the Torah, we don't pronounce the Shem Hashem properly, but we say Adni. We say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. And Aleph Dal Nun Yud is a reference to mastery, his dominion. But the Shem HaMeforash is the idea of Yichud. It's not any particular perfection, but it's really the idea of a unified concept of God. That His perfection, that God's perfection is one, and that He can't be broken up into parts, and it can't be broken up into parts. So really the idea, the combination or the comparison between Shema Yisrael, and even though in Shema Yisrael we don't say the Shem HaMeforash and we don't spell it out, but we describe the Shem of Adni with Hashem Echad, so we're describing the Shem as one. But in the Mikdash, when we declare the Shem, we're declaring it in a way where it's also referencing the idea of oneness of God, the uniqueness of God. And that's why we don't say Adni in the Mikdash. We don't reference any particular perfection, any idea of mastery or dominion, but we reference the idea of one perfection, of the idea of oneness of God, and that He can't be broken up into parts. So that's really the combination, the comparison between Shema and in the Mikdash. In both places, in Shema, we actually describe Yichud. We don't say the Shema Meforash, but we describe that God is one and He's unique. But in really the Mikdash, we actually say the Shem HaMeforash, which is a reference to the idea of his yichud, of his oneness, and his uniqueness as not being able to be broken up, and as a non-physical being, and his perfection being unique. So why do we respond Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, and what does the Malchus have to do with the idea of oneness in God? So we do say that by Kriya Shema, we call it Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. When we say Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, we're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of Malchus, of his kingship, of God's kingship. So the response that man has is to praise the kingship of Hashem. So why is it appropriate to praise the kingship of Hashem in response to the Shem Hashem, to the idea of God's oneness, God's uniqueness? So I was thinking about this for a while, and I think this is an idea in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also. So that concept of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed is that in man's realm, in man's understanding, Malchus is the closest idea or concept that man can have of this uniqueness, of this one perfection. Why? So I'll use a description, but a melech, a king, he operates in many different realms. A melech operates in the realm of din, of judgment, or melech operates in the realm of gvura, of courage. A melech operates in the realm of many different areas, of kindness, of chesed that he does to his people. So a melech just demonstrates or displays many different perfections, but really it's tied and sourced in one being. And even though, in general, we know that a melech, a human king, is limited, because a human king is physical, and he can be broken up, and he can... But the idea, the concept of the expressions of different midos, characteristics, being tied to one identity or one source, is the idea of Malchus, of Malchus. And that's man's... In man's realm, that's the furthest that we can get in terms of understanding the idea of oneness, of one perfection, of not a distinct perfection, not one area of perfection, but a perfection that's connected to one another. So the idea of responding Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol De'olam Voed is that when we hear this, the idea of God's uniqueness, of Hashem's uniqueness, we also recognize in our framework, where we recognize the uniqueness, that idea of oneness is in the framework of Malchus, of Malchus Hashem. And we praise Hashem in our framework, meaning we don't really understand the oneness of Hashem in an absolute sense. We can't really visualize or conceptualize something that is so perfect that it can't be broken up into parts, something that is so non-physical. But in our framework, Malchus is really the highest level of that idea, of that expression. And we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol De'olam Vo'ed, we acknowledge that the Malchus that we even reference is beyond us. It's forever, it's for eternity. And eternity is an idea that's not limited to man, but it's beyond man. It's forever. So the concept that Moshe is saying, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, is that when the idea of God's uniqueness, of God's oneness, which man can't have any positive knowledge of, is expressed, we have to praise Hashem in our framework with reference to that idea. And in our framework, Malchus is really the highest level of that idea, because it's really an expression of different characteristics of perfection that come and emanate from one source. And even though that one source, in our minds, a human melech, is split up, but in the framework of man, that's the highest, our highest idea, our highest level of understanding of Yichud Hashem is through Malchus, through the expression of Malchus. So why is this so important? Because you see this idea is expressed in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, in the Chasima, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mochel V'Soleach La'Avonoseinu V'Avonosam O Beis Yisrael. We talk about Hashem's Malchus in the framework of forgiving our sins. On Rosh Hashanah, we talk about Hashem's Malchus in a different framework. We talk about it as Melech HaKol Aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael. We talk about his Kedusha, Malchus in Kedusha. We talk about Malchus in different frameworks. But the idea of Malchus is the furthest that man can perceive vis-a-vis or relative to the concept of God's oneness, of God's uniqueness. So when we do hear, when we do say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when we reference that concept of Hashem's oneness and his uniqueness, we praise him in our framework. We praise him with the highest level of man's recognition of that idea, which is the Malchus. And even in doing so, we recognize that it's beyond our own capacity, that it's forever and ever, that his Malchus is forever and ever. So that's really the first idea. It's really an important idea in terms of Yom Kippur, because we say Baruch Shem all the time in Yom Kippur. So how do we understand that? We have to understand in that framework that we're limited in terms of understanding God's uniqueness, God's oneness, but this is our expression, our highest level of understanding is through the framework of Malchus. But even so, even in referencing it, we reference that it's beyond us. It's the Olam Ba'ed, it's forever, for all eternity. Okay? So now there's another interesting medrash that I came across on Rosh Hashanah, and it's also tied to this parsha. It's tied to this pasuk, so it actually works out perfectly. And this is another idea. I think it's a deep idea in tefillah and tied to Yom Kippur. Anybody have any questions on the last point or want to add anything? All right, you can stop me in the next segment also. So in source number 7, there's one other point here that's a little bizarre. It says Kishim Hashem Ekra. It's the Yalkut Shimoni. It's one of the midrashim. It says Nimtzinu Lemidin Shlo Hiskir Moshe Shmo Shel Makom Elo Achar Esrim Va'achas Milos. So we learn from Hazinu that Moshe, it took him 21 words to mention the Shem Hashem. If you count the words before Kishem Hashem from Ekra, which is the first Hashem in Hazinu, there's 21 words. Mimi Lamad, where did Moshe learn that you're supposed to say 21 words before you say the Shem Hashem? Yimalachei Asharis, Limeid. So he learned it from the Malachim. She'ein Malachei Asharis maskirin es Hashem ela achar shlosh kedushos. So the Malachim, when they say Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Shneamar v'karazel zebe amar v'amar Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So when the Malachim praise Hashem, they say three words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Amar Moshe, Dai sheye befachos meshiva k'malachei Asharis. So Moshe said that seven times less than the Malachei Asharis. V'arei dvarim kavachomer, ma Moshe shehu chacham chachamim v'gadol gedolim, lo hiskir shmo shel makom, elo achar esrim v'achas milos, hamaskir shmo shel makom v'chinam, alachas kam v'kama. So there's another strange idea that we learn from this pasuk of Kishim Hashem Ekra. And the Medrash says that Moshe, he didn't say the Shem Hashem, he only said it after he said 21 words, and he learned from the Malachim. See, when the Malachim say the Shem Hashem, they say Kadosh, 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 and Moshe said, I'm seven times less than a Malach, so I'm going to have to say 21 words before I make reference to the Shem Hashem. And we say from there that there's actually a reference here to Kedusha from here, that we say 21 words before we say Hashem's name in Kedusha. But the concept is that Moshe, he needed 21 words before he referenced Shem Hashem, and he learned that from the Malachim. And then the Medrash says, if that's how careful Moshe was, how much more so, or how bad is it for a person to just say the Shem Hashem without thinking, or just say it b'chinam, for nothing? So according to this Medrash, based on our Pasuk, there's this strange, bizarre idea that we're going to have to explain, which is that Moshe, when Moshe references the Shem Hashem, it's with 21 words, but the Malachim reference it with after three words. So who cares? You know, what is the concept that we have to reference the Shem Hashem after three words, 21 words? What's the idea of referencing the Shem Hashem after words? Why does it matter? You know, how many words we say before the Shem Hashem? Why did Moshe have to say 21 words before the Shem Hashem? But there's a contradiction also, and I came to this Gemara from the Machzor, the Rav's Machzor, and he quotes this Gemara in Chulin on the period of Hashem Melech Hashem Malach, which references the praise of the Malachim and the praise of human beings. And it's a contradiction to this Medrash. So the Gemara is in Chulin, it's Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, and it's a fascinating Gemara. And we're going to have to explain how, and try to reconcile this contradiction. So the Gemara says like this, Vayomer Shaluchini Ki Allah Shachar. So when Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach, with the Sar Shel Esau of the Malach, so the Malach said, I have to leave because the morning time has come. So Amar Lo, so Yaakov said, Ganavata o Kuvyusti Yosata. Are you a thief? Are you a kidnapper? Shemis Yari Min Ashachar. Why do you have to leave in the morning? So Amar Lo, so the Malach said to Yaakov, Malachani, I am a Malach, I am an angel. Umiyom Shedim Resi Lo Higiazmani Lomar Shirat Achshav. From the day that I was created, my time to praise Hashem, to sing Shira, did not come until this time, Arachshav, until now. So this is a proof to this statement of Rav Chananel, the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Chananel Amar Rav, Shalosh Kito Shel Malachi Asharis Omro Shiros Shir B'chol Yom. There are three classes of Malachim, of angels, that say, praise and sing every day. Achas Omeris Kadosh. So one group of angels say Kadosh, which means holy or separate. The Achas Omeris Kadosh, and another one says Kadosh. The Achas Omeris Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. And the one and the other, the third class says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. Okay, so at this point, we all know Kedusha, hopefully. And in Kedusha, we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. The Gemara says that this Malach who was wrestling with Yaakov had to leave. He had to escape because he had to say his Shira. And there are three groups of Malachim that say the Shira. One group says Kadosh, the other one says Kadosh, and the last one says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. So Meisve, the Gemara objects, Chavivin Yisrael, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoser mi Malachi Hasharis. So the Jewish people are more beloved before Hashem than the angels. She Yisrael Omrim Shira Bechol Shah. Why? Because a Jew can say Shira in any moment. He doesn't have to wait till a fixed time. Umalach Yasharis Ein Omrim Shira Elapam Achas B'Yom. But a Malach can only sing Shira once in a day. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Shabbos, some say only once in a week. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Chodesh, some say once in a month. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Shana, some say once in a year. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Shavua, and some say once in 7 years. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Yovel, and some say once every 50 years. The Amri Law Pam Achas B'Olam, and some angels can only sing Shira once in their lifetime. The Yisrael Maskirin Es Hashem Achar Shtei Tevos, another way in which Klal Yisrael are more beloved is that they can say the Shem Hashem after two Tevos, Shneamar Shema Yisrael Hashem. Because we say Shema Yisrael Hashem, Umalachai Hashares, Ein Maskirin Hashashem, Ela La'achar Gimel Tevos. But the Malachim can only say the Shem Hashem after three Tevos, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Kedechsiv, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. The Ein Malachai Hashares, Omrim Shira Lamala, Achi Yomir Yisrael Lamata. And furthermore, lastly, the Malachim cannot sing Shira until the Jewish people sing Shira below. Shneamar Baran Yachad Koch Leboker V'Hadar V'Yiru Kol B'nei Elokim. So there's a pasuk that implies that the Malachim have to wait for the Jews to sing Shira in order to sing Shira. Ela Achas Omeres Kadosh V'Achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh V'Achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. Okay, fine. So at this point in the Gemara, this is where I want to stop in the Gemara, but the Gemara goes on. But at this point in the Gemara contradicts the Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe can only say the Shem Hashem after 21 words, but the Malach can say the Shem Hashem after 3 words. But in our Gemara, it says that the Jewish people are more beloved before Hashem because of 3 things. One is because they can say Shira at any time, and the Malach is limited. The other idea is that the Jewish people can say the Shem Hashem after 2 words, where the Malachim can only say it after 3 words. And the last one is because the Malachim have to wait for the Jewish people to sing Shira before they can sing Shira. So the contradiction is that in our Parsha in Hazinu, the Medrash says that the Jewish people have to wait. Moshe had to wait, and he had to say 21 words before he could say the Shem Hashem, but the Malach can only say it, can say it quicker after 3 words. But in our Gemara in Chulin, it says that the Jews have an advantage because they can say the Shem Hashem after 2 words. And also, there's a strange idea that the Malach can only sing Shira after the Jewish people sing Shira. So how do we understand this Gemara? And it's just a bizarre Gemara. How do we understand it? And how do we reconcile this contradiction between the way that the Pasuk in Hazinu is pointing out that we have to say 21 words like Moshe Rabbeinu before we say the Shem Hashem? And it sounds like human beings were worse off than the Malach, because the Malach only has 3 words. But in our Gemara, it says we can say the Shem Hashem after 2 words, and we're better off than the Malach. Are we worse off than the Malach, or are we better off than the Malach? Which one is it? So what's the answer to that question? Okay? So before we answer this idea, this one point, it's important to understand what a Malach is. So a Malach is an intelligence, according to the Rambam at least, but different Shitas have different opinions. I'm a little biased towards the Rambam, but the Rambam says in source number 10, the Rambam's Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perek Beis Lacha Zayin, he says, Shinui Shemos HaMalachim Al Shem Malasim Hu. So why do different Malachim, angels, have different names? Because there are different levels of Malachim. Ulefichach Nikraim Chayos HaKodesh V'Hem L'malam Min HaKol V'Ofanim V'Arelim V'Chashmolim U'Srafim Malachim V'Elokim U'Vnei Elokim U'Kruvim V'Ishim. So there are different levels, and there are 10 levels. Every name for an angel is based on a level of an angel. The highest one is called Chayos, which the only being that's higher is Hashem. So there's one Malach that's so close to Hashem that he's right underneath the Kisei HaKavod. And this isn't spatial, this is talking about an idea. Umala Asirisi Malas Atsura Shnikris Ishim, Vehema Malachim Hamidabrim Manaviam, Miniram Laham Vimara Navua. The lowest level of angels are called Ishim, and they speak with human beings. Lefichach nikru Ishim shemalosim krova lamalas das bnei adam. So there are different levels of angels. The lowest level of angel is closest to man, and the highest level is closest to Hashem. So in Halacha Ches, he says, V'chol atzuros ha'elu chayim, they're all living existences, u'makirin es habore v'yodim oso de'a gedola alamod. They know Hashem in a great way. Kol tzuro v'tzuro l'fi ma'alasam, lo l'fi gedola. And each one is based on, not on their size, but on their level. V'afilu ma'ala harishona ene yichol l'hasig amitas habore k'moshu ela daita k'tzara, l'hasig v'leda aval maseges yodas yoser, and each level knows more about Hashem than the level beneath it. Okay, fine. So even the last level of angels knows more about Hashem than man, because man is constrained by the physical, whereas the malach isn't. So how do we explain, so it's important, I brought in the Rambam just so we understand what a malach is. A malach is a being that is praises Hashem and that understands Hashem on a very high level, higher than man. So how do we understand, based on the Rambam and the contradiction, that on the one hand it seems like man knows less than the malach, but on the other hand, in the Gemara, it sounds like man is better off than the malachim. So how do we understand that contradiction? So I think there's a deep idea in this Gemara. The idea is that we have to recognize that there's two frameworks in terms of our praise, the praise of the Jewish people, and our reference to Hashem, and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. So those emanate from free choice. When man says Shema Yisrael, he's accepting upon himself, he's being mekabel himself, upon himself, Malchus Shemayim, the kingship of God. A malach is not able to accept upon himself, he's not able to be mekabel, he's not able to give shevach from the framework of free choice. So, because a malach, it's fixed. It's designed within his nature to give shevach. So he can't choose to not give shevach. His shevach emerges, and the initiation of the shevach of the malach does not emerge from choice. Just like Shema Yisrael, when man says Shema Yisrael, and they keep the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, they're mekabel upon themselves a malchus. But a malach can't be mekabel upon himself. He doesn't have that ability. He has no choice. It's within his nature to accept and to understand God. So the difference between a man and a malach is that a man, there's an advantage to the nature of man's shevach and to man's Shema Yisrael. And the advantage is that human beings, Shema Yisrael and their shevach emerge from the framework of free choice and from the framework of wanting to accept kingship. And when you want to accept something and when you want to do something, the quality of what you're doing is far greater than someone who doesn't have a choice, or some being that doesn't have a choice. But on the other hand, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is that man recognizes our limitations in terms of knowledge of God. And the malach is closer. That's what the words kadosh, kadosh, kadosh means, that a malach who understands Hashem on a higher level, on a closer level, and he doesn't have to be as removed from the idea of Hashem, as opposed to man, where we're limited in our understanding of Hashem because of our physical constraints. So the reconciliation of the contradiction is that on the one hand, man has to recognize our limitations in terms of understanding God. And when we say Shevach and we reference God, we recognize that we don't understand as much as a malach. We just can't. But on the other hand, we have a certain advantage, that our Shevach and our understanding emerges from choice, from free choice, and emerges from a want, a desire. And that's the idea of the Gemara, and that's why it's not a contradiction between the Gemara and our Parsha and Hazina. So another important idea in Yom Kippur, that whenever we reference the idea of the Malachim singing praise to Hashem, like we do in Rosh Hashanah, when we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, we have to recognize our limitations in praising Hashem, that we don't know as much as a Malach, we're inherently limited, but on the other hand, we do have an advantage. We can use our Bechira, our free choice, to create a certain quality of Shevach that the Malach is limited and cannot do as well. So only together with the Malach's praise and human praise can we create the perfect praise. But we each have limitations and we each have strengths, so we have to recognize that in the framework and when we go into Yom Kippur as well. Okay? Any questions? Everybody following? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Can I connect someone else?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit more the Rambam's explanation of calling the malach an intelligence. Like, what is that?
Good question. The Rambam holds that malachim, they do exist, they're existences, and they're really shlichim of Hashem, they're really messengers of Hashem, but they don't have any physical, they don't have any physical body. They have form, there's an idea of form, they can take form, and they're not like God. So it's hard to explain fully, but the idea is that because they're removed from a human body, and they're removed from the physical, they're able to perceive Hashem on a higher level. So the idea of a malach is that a malach is a being that is able to perceive Hashem on a higher level. But like I said, the malach doesn't have free choice. It doesn't have the ability to choose to understand Hashem. It doesn't have the ability to choose to accept God as king. It cannot choose to give praise. It's the part of the nature of the malach to give praise, to acknowledge their concept and their perception of God. So that's how I would describe it. I don't know if that helped at all, but that's how I would describe it. Okay, so the two points tonight, one is Baruch Shem, which is throughout Yom Kippur davening, and the other one is the concept of the Malach, which I'll summarize at the end, is the concept of our advantages over the Malach's praise and the Malach's advantages over human praise. So the last point is kind of I came across it on Shabbos, so I just wanted to share it. It's also really important for Yom Kippur, and then I'll put everything together. It's actually a very critical idea, and it came out from halachic discussion, but it's a beautiful philosophical idea as well. So the Gemara, it's actually a Ran. It's a Ran on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and there's a machlokas Rishonim. When do we say Zachreinu L'chaim Mel Chafetz B'chaim and Micha Mocha Avrachamim Zocher Yitzurav L'chaim Brachamim, all those statements. So there are two shitas. One shita says, one opinion says that you're only supposed to say it on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and the other one, which we're more familiar with, is that we say it during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva as well. Meaning even nowadays, today and tomorrow and yesterday, we say in our tefillah Zachreinu L'chaim. So they try to explain the machlokes, and the Ran brings down the shitos. And if you look in source number 11, he says like this. He says, if you skip to two lines down, uvoda uchsov l'chaim uvesim shalom b'sefer chaim. Fine. V'arav Rav Yitzchak ibn Geis. So the Ritz Geis, who is one of the Rishonim, Zal Kasov, de'afal gav de'amrinan lo yishal adam tzrachav lo b'shlosh rishonos v'lo b'shlosh achronos nagu lo markein l'fishet tzarche rabim heim. So the question that he asks is that normally you're not allowed to add in bakasha, requests, in the first three brachos and the last three brachos of Shemona Esrei. But for some reason, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we say Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life. So we do add a bakasha, we do request. So it's kind of a problem because there's a general rule that you're not allowed to change the first three brachos and you can't add personal requests. So he goes on and he says like this, no, it's different. A request of the Rabim is different than a request of a Yachid. So he says, and sometimes, because it's a Tzarech of the Rabim, we do add requests of the Rabim, of the community as a whole, in these first three brachos and the last three brachos. He says, V'chein v'chana ku purim sh'omrim ken yaseh lanu nisim ufele, v'chein ba'avoda b'chol yom ritzei ba'amcha yishol v'tfilosom she'ei. So this shita maintains, it's Ritzkeh says that the reason why we're allowed to say Zachreinu l'chaim, melechavetz b'chaim, and we're allowed to say Micha Mocha in the first three brachos and the last three brachos is because it's a community, it's a tzarech of the rabbim, it's a need of the community. And when it's a need of the community, it's not defined as a bakasha of the yachid. So the question that we asked when we were learning on Shabbos, I was learning with Meichel Bura, the question that we asked was a good question, which is that normally in bakashos, in Shemona Esrei, like Barech Aleinu Asashna Zos, we do them in the plural. Or when we say Shema Kolenu, we're doing it in the plural. So, but yet nobody would say that you can put one of those in the first three brachos. You couldn't move, let's say, Rifa'inu to the first three brachos. So what's the difference between a Tzarche Rabim of Zachreinu L'chaim and a Tzarche Rabim of Rifa'inu? When we say that Hashem should heal the sick, and we say that that wouldn't be appropriate in the first three brachos. So what's the difference? So the difference is, halachically, that a person who has a personal request is allowed to put him in the bakashos of Rifa'inu. Let's say you know somebody who's sick, you're supposed to add it into Rifa'inu. So even though the bakasha of Rifa'inu is in the framework of the community, it's appropriate to add the framework of the yachid, to add in, if I know somebody who's sick, you're allowed to, and it's encouraged, that you put in the idea of the sick person, the person that you're thinking about, and you pray for them, and you daven for them as well. So the difference between a tzarech of the rabbim and a regular bakasha is that it would be inappropriate to apply a bakasha of the rabbim, a tzarach of the rabbim, to the individual. Because you see that it would be inappropriate to take Rifa'inu and put it in the first three brachos. He only says that you're allowed to do it with a tzarach of the rabbim. So a tzarach of the rabbim doesn't mean a bakasha, a request, with the language of the rabbim, of the plural, but it means a request that is exclusive to the plural. It doesn't imply the yachid. It doesn't imply at all. In fact, it would be a violation of al yishal adam tzrachav, that you can't ask for your personal needs in the first three brachos if you had yourself in mind. So what does this teach you? A very important idea, that when you say Zachrinu L'chaim on Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, if you have your personal chaim, your personal existence, and not the existence of the community in mind, you're missing the whole point of Zachrinu L'chaim. Because the whole idea of Zachrinu L'chaim is that it's not a bakasha of the yachid, it's not a yishal tzrachav of the yachid. In fact, if it was that, you wouldn't be able to say it in the first three brachos. But rather, it's a tzrachav of the rabbim. So when you say Micha Mocha Avarachamim, if you say Zocher Tzurov, if you say Zachrinu L'chaim, when we say Uchsov L'chaim Tovim, if you have your own Chaim in mind, you're really distorting the idea of Zachrinu L'chaim. The idea of Zachrinu L'chaim is the universal, the existence of mankind. And Uchsov L'chaim Tovim is not talking about you at all, but it's talking about the community. So it's a very important idea that when you say Zachrinu L'chaim, when you hear it, when you're saying it in your Shemona Esrei, if you have your own personal Chaim in mind, you're really distorting the idea of Zachrinu. And if it's your own personal, you can't say it in the first three brachos. It's a violation of Aishal Adam Tzrachav. You can only say it if it's a tzarach of the rabbim. So we have to recognize when we say Zachrinu L'chaim, because I know that people make this mistake. We have to recognize when you say Zachrinu L'chaim that it's not about you. It's about the existence of the community of Klal Yisrael. When you say Uchsov L'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'Risecha, you're talking about the existence, the life of Klal Yisrael, not your life, not your personal life. And in fact, if you mean yourself, you're distorting it, and it doesn't belong in that place. You can't even say it in the first three brachos if it's your tzrachav, if it's your need. Okay? So let me just tie in three unique ideas about Yom Kippur and the Parsha also, Parsha Hazina. So the first idea was that on Yom Kippur, we acknowledge Yichud Hashem, and we make reference to the fact that the Shem Hashem was said in the Mikdash in a different way than we normally say it. And we also say Baruch Shem in response to that, as well as in response to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, despite the fact that in Shema Yisrael, we do not say the Shema Meforash, we say Adni, we say Alef Dal Nun Yud. So what is the idea of Baruch Shem? It seems like Baruch Shem is a response to the idea of Yichud Hashem. And Yichud Hashem is only expressed when you say the Shema Meforash, when you explicitly say the Shema Hashem. But if you say Adni, you're only focusing on one perfection, or one characterization of Midas Hashem. But when you say the Shema Meforash, you're really referencing the uniqueness of God, that he is one and his perfection is one. And our response is in our framework, that we have to enhance and we have to praise God and relate that idea of oneness in our framework, and that's referenced in Malchus. That Malchus, even though it's not the same as the oneness of a God, but Malchus is an idea of multiple perfections emanating from one source. And even when we say Malchus, we recognize that it's the Olam Vaed, it's for eternity, that it's not a limited Malchios. It's not the way that we understand it, but that's the furthest that we can go, and that's how we respond and we praise Hashem in recognition of His uniqueness, His oneness. The second point for Yom Kippur is the idea of Kishem Hashem Ekara, that man and Malachim are, on the one hand, tied together, and we have advantages and they have advantages. Their advantage is that they have more knowledge of God, and the content of their statements is a greater perception of Hashem, but our advantage is that our Shevach and our Kabbalah, all of Malchus Shemayim, emerges from free choice, from Bechira Chafshis. So we create a greater quality of Shevach, and in fact we initiate Shevach, and the Malachim continue our Shevach with their ideas. But on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu points out that we are limited in our knowledge. The Malach is closer to God, he doesn't need as many words, which means that he's closer to understanding God, to Hashem, and we recognize that in Yom Kippur, that on the one hand, we don't know everything about God. We are limited, and we are by far limited more than the Malach. But on the other hand, we have the ability to use our free choice, our Bechira, which the Malach doesn't have, to create a certain quality of Shevach, quality of praise in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Then finally, the last idea is Zachrinu L'chaim El Chavitz B'chaim, that when we say this, it's very important that we don't think that it's for ourselves, but it's for the community. In fact, halachically, if it's not for the community and we think it's for ourselves, we're violating a halachic principle of not requesting personal requests in the first three brachos or the last three brachos. So as such, I hope everybody, when they say Zachrinu L'chaim, that they really have in mind not their own personal existence, but the existence of the community as a whole, and not make it into a personal request, but make it into a request for the Rabbim. Okay? Anybody have any more questions? Any questions on the share tonight?
Okay. Answer?
Yes.
The insertions at the end of Shmona Esrei, but they're not in the first two brachos. Do those, the same kavanah apply to those, even though they're not in the first three brachos?
Which ones? Do you mean in the middle?
Like the one by Modim and
Yeah, it's the same ones. The same idea. You're not allowed to ask, because those are called Shevach. It's called Shevach Bakasha and Hoda. So in Hoda, you're not allowed to ask a Bakasha, and in the Shevach, you can't ask Bakasha. So in either one, you're not allowed to ask your personal needs. In fact, the Ibn Gaeus says that Al Hanisim, they used to do Al Hanisim, and they would add a request for the community, and he even brings that as a proof. But in general, that you're allowed to ask for a Tzarech of the Rabbim in the last three brachos as well. But in general, you're not allowed to ask for a personal request in the first three or the last three brachos. So it's the same idea. When you say Uchsov L'chaim Tovim, you should have in mind the community as a whole. Or when you say B'sefer Chaim, you shouldn't have in mind the personal, you should have in mind the community. Because if you do extrapolate to the personal, you're really violating that halachic principle. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a Chasima Tova.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.